Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, David Clark, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Please feel free to participate or just to listen and join us every week at the same day and time. Tonight we're going to be talking about living an authentic life, and let me welcome Kat, my co-host, and ask Kat, how are you tonight?
I'm great, thank you, David, and thanks to everybody who's tuned in.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be with you, Kat. I really enjoy working together with you. We make a good team, I think.
Yes, I do agree.
Yeah. And thank you, Karen, for joining us tonight. We'll probably have some other callers, perhaps. And at any rate, we thought we'd start off. I just wanted to, at the outset, give a working definition of living an authentic life and what it means to me, and what I read was that it means being embracing your true self and also being true to yourself, living in accordance with your own values and beliefs. And we thought it might be interesting to talk about the ways that you would find somebody who's not living an authentic life. And I'm going to turn it over to Kat for that.
Yeah, so there's a, so I found a list on livingminimally.com, and I am going to paraphrase from that list. But I think that we can all recognize these pitfalls when we're not living an authentic life. So one of them would be that you're justifying everything. So, you know, you find yourself saying things, justifying, oh, yes, well, it's okay that I'm having these donuts for dinner because I had a salad for lunch. That's a very mundane justification, but you can go into, you know, more and more self, basically lying to yourself. You're saying, I've done this thing that's not good for me or not good for someone else, but it's okay because I've done this other thing that I can justify against it. That's not actually being authentic to yourself or to anyone else. And it just reminds me of what I've always taught my kids, which is when you disrespect others, you're disrespecting yourself. And that's the number one thing is you're really disrespecting yourself. And so justifying to yourself and to others for poor decisions and poor behavior is not being authentic. Emotions and feeling negative emotions are normal. And there's an idea in the spiritual movement that you have to be positive all the time, that you can't have fear, and that you have to remain in some sort of la-la land. That's not authentic either. Like, let's be realistic. People have feelings, have emotions, and are able to have them and should be able to have them. You know, if you've been hurt because of someone else and you call them out on it, that's being authentic. Continuously beating them up for it is not authentic, because if they're not going to take personal responsibility for it, but you've called them out, that's as much as you can do. So if somebody's glossing over it and making it all about themselves, they're not authentic. And if you're pulling them up and saying, hey, why did you do that? And keep bringing them back to that subject, but all they wanted to do is talk about their victim story, but they are actually trying to mirror you as being the victim because you've pulled them up on whatever crap they've pulled. Sorry, mate, you're not being authentic. No matter how delusional you feel you are in justifying that you've got this big issue going on and this other person should be upset for you and drop this feeling that your behavior is generated. It doesn't work that way. So what we need to do is take personal responsibility and accept that you effed up and that you've created a bad feeling between yourself and that other person. And I am sorry, how can I make amends is the answer. And that other person may tell you how to make amends. And then you can get back on track and you may find that other person will help you. So neglecting yourself and putting yourself last, so that's a different thing. Often parents do that. Often people who are givers and nurturers will do that. It's not actually authentic. It's a difficult one though, isn't it, David? How many times have you found that you've... And I know that you've done this because we're friends, I know that you've done this. You've financially put yourself last and put yourself in a position where you know you're going to have to wait to recover.
Yeah.
And so that's a tricky one. You know, they've got that on the list there, but sometimes you find yourself in that position. So in the day-to-day life, saying, you know what, I need to eat my breakfast before I get you what you want. No, I'm not going to do that for you. I have to look after myself first. That's really important. And, you know, we go back to the old adage about the aeroplane. And when they drop that oxygen mask, first they ask you to give yourself oxygen, then give it to the child. No matter how much it feels wrong, if you're not looking after yourself, you cannot look after that child. You'll both perish. So that's really important. You start to be judging towards other people and get narky. And this is easy, especially if you're unhappy in your own life. You can really start to get narky and judgy over other people. You've got to shut that up. You've got to say to yourself, I'm not as perfect as I think I am. You know, those people cheese me off. That behavior annoys me, but, you know, hang on, I'm probably really annoying too. Let's just get on with life and start looking at how you can make yourself better rather than constantly pulling in other people down and being angry towards them. The fifth one on the list here is giving your power away. And that's really, again, back to boundaries. You make a decision that doesn't make you feel good, or you don't feel good about coming up with that decision, but you feel like it's the one you have to do. No, you know, I'm currently house hunting. I have a family to consider. And we came across a house that we said, oh, we could make it work. And we know that if we applied, we'd get it because nobody else would want it. And I turned around to my partner and said, I don't feel excited about this house and it will be a real stretch to make it work. I don't think it's right for us. So I stood in my power and said no. And even though we could make massive compromises to live there, it wouldn't work for us when we look at the pros and cons. So you really have to stand in your power and say, hang on, no. That might be cheaper, but it's not the best way for us. And then putting things off they've got here on the list. So saying, I'll do that tomorrow, I'll do that tomorrow, is procrastination. Really, which I'm guilty of.
You're not alone.
And before we go on, David, I think that we should both say that we're not standing in a position of being high and mighty. We're the most authentic people in the world because I, as I'm going through this list, I can probably kick myself in the shoe over quite a few things that I've done wrong over the years that haven't been living in authentic. But that's all part of the lesson, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I think that, you know, the main thing in order to become authentic, you have to be self-aware. I mean, it is a process of we're all works in progress, And a lot of us just don't truly know who ourselves are. And if we don't know that, how can we be authentic? So it's really a goal rather than a state of being, if you will. It's a matter of peeling back the layers of the onion of self to get to the core. And when you reach the core, then you have something to really work with. And then the choice is, am I going to be authentic and true to myself, or am I going to be wearing a mask to protect myself? I think that, you know, we're all vulnerable, and we need to stay safe. We need to keep ourselves safe. But if we're going to be authentic, we need to allow ourselves to become vulnerable in situations where we do feel safe, so that we can start to express who we really are and adhere to our values and beliefs at all costs, I believe, unless it's going to injure ourselves or somebody else, because there is that taking care piece, don't you think, Kat?
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to take care. And I think what you said earlier, the ultimate question, who am I? That goes back to the core of finding your authentic self. And as adults, we're in a hard, it's more difficult to find and express the who am I than it is as a young person, because you've got less responsibilities as a young person. But what challenges you have there is that your parents may not allow you to express your authentic self, the who am I at that point. I know when I was younger, I was in the amateur theatre and I was all over it. I absolutely loved the amateur theatre, but my parents were not, they didn't want that for me. They wanted me to go and get a sort of regular job, and they didn't want me to go into the theatre. But that was my authentic me. I did backstage, stage manager, front of house, the bar. I was lead actor, I was cameo actor, I was supporting actor. You know, I was all over it like a rash. And I absolutely loved it. And I may have been successful, I may not have been successful. But if I was encouraged to go into that, I think that I would have had the passion and the drive to keep going through my life's challenges, and I may not have ended up in the pit that I ended up in, that I had to climb out of. So you've got to encourage your children to be who they want to be, because you don't know, holding them back might actually stop them from living a successful life, and it may steer them into living a difficult life. As an adult now, I don't have the time to go and do a degree in drama. I just don't have the time. I've got children. I've got my business. I've found what I'm good at that isn't in the theatre, and I'm doing that. But it's hard to carve a path that way. So I ended up in a position where I was still trying to carve a path whichever way that I went. So now I'm doing evening classes, doing improvisation, theatre sports, and I'm doing vocal lessons, and I'm still in that scene in some way, but albeit peripheral and at a very amateur level. Living your authentic life means that, you know, go to what makes you happy, even if you couldn't make a living out of it when you were younger, as I did. But still try and find ways to pull it in, to so that the mundane, the stuff that you have to do that you don't really like, becomes meaningful, because then it's the stuff that pays for the stuff that you love. Does that make sense? Did I make sense there?
Yes, you did. And I can really relate to the example that you gave about the acting, because when I was in high school, I was voted class actor because I just loved the theater. And I had many roles along the way. I remember how thrilled I was when I finally got a leading role. And I wanted to go to New York University and study acting with a prominent acting coach there. But my father talked to me and convinced me that it would not be a practical thing to do and that I wouldn't be able to make a living at it. And I think that one of the lessons for me, of course I was young and impressionable, but I think one of the lessons, big lessons to me, is that it's important to stand up for yourself. And I didn't have the strength or self-esteem to do it at the time. And it led me down a road that was not satisfying career-wise. I went into the business field, as he'd suggested, and that was not a good fit for me. And then I became a social worker, and that was a closer fit because I really enjoyed helping other people. I felt like I was carrying out an essential role, and actually there was some acting that had to be done in both of those fields of endeavor. But eventually I carved out a niche for myself as a writer, and you know, that's something that I've enjoyed for years, and it helps me to get in touch with that creative part of myself that was such a big part of the acting arena. But you know, I think it's a challenge to become who you want to be, and it's important to, as you were saying, Kat, to follow your heart, follow your desires, and follow your passions. So that to me is becoming more authentic, becoming more genuine, if you will. And So those are just some thoughts I had as I related to your example. What else would you like to say?
I think, you know, when you're getting started and you're realizing just how unhappy you are because you're not living authentically, let's go from that place, because I know a lot of people have come to that place, and the pandemic has actually allowed people to breathe and say, who am I? And it's one of the most Googled questions, apparently, is how do I live authentically, and how do I discover who I am? So redefine your values and look at those value systems, because values turn into actions. And you really want to think about what feels right to you versus what's going through the motions. What do you just do because you think that's what everybody else expects of you to think or be, versus what it is that you really actually want to do, be, and have in your life. What you're going to stand up and say is, no, I don't agree with that. It's scary because it also involves free thinking. And if you've been taught a belief system all your life, in order to live authentically, you do have to challenge that. And I mean, that could be anything, any kind of belief system, not just talking about religion. It could be anything. It could be that, for example, you are an Inuit, and the only food that you should eat is seal blubber. And then you believe that that's the only food that you should eat. And all your life you've believed that, so you've eaten it. But now you realize that you don't actually like it. And when you sit down to eat it, it gives you indigestion. So you've got to challenge that belief system and say, I don't value this as my only food source anymore. I need to seek other meals. And actually, you know what, a vegetable that I had the other day, I really liked that, so I'd like to add that in. So you're changing, you're redefining your values and how they act in your life, how they're acted out in your life. And that also means that you have to think for yourself and step out of your comfort zone. But fostering an open mind, as they say on Gaiam.com, it's really important to say to yourself, what options are there? What's out there? What am I doing that causes me to be so closed? And what am I doing that's making me open? And if you're someone like me who's really introverted, stepping out of your comfort zone may be one step at a time, but opening the door to what's out there is really exciting. And you can do that by taking an example out of somebody else's book who lives a much freer life than you, because it's all mindset. Would you agree with that, David?
Yes, I would. You know, I was thinking about some of the ways that I was reading how you can connect with your authentic self, and they really spoke to me. One of them was interesting. The term it used was being a good zookeeper. And the idea is that if your physical self is content, it's easier to connect with your authentic self. You know, our body is a good barometer of letting us know when something speaks to us, when something doesn't rest well in our gut. I think that, you know, it's primal, but it's a good starting point. So, you know, your body is an animal, and it won't lie to you. So, you know, listen to it as a starting point, and try not to shit on yourself. That has been a big pattern in my life. I've been a people pleaser in my past, and I've been very harsh with myself. I've expected tremendous things out of myself instead of just taking it easy and letting my higher self light the path for me. I focused on material things, achievements, things that really are not about authenticity. They're just window trappings. And I think it's really important to be able to open up and listen if you're going to be authentic, and it will help you learn more about yourself if you can listen to what other people are saying, if you can accept feedback from other people without becoming defensive, you know, or take it in the context that it's given, because sometimes feedback can be negative, sometimes it can be just constructive criticism, which I'm open to, but negative feedback, when I get that from somebody, that's a warning sign that I need to walk away. And it is so important to surround yourself with positive people, places, and things that fill your spirit up. And so that's one final thing that I was reading about in ways to connect with your authentic self, is to gather your tribe. And two other things I mentioned were to try not trying. I mean, we can try again and never get there. The important thing is to do, take one step at a time and keep moving forward. And of course, sometimes it's two step forward, one step back, but to keep moving in a forward direction. And at all costs, tell the truth wherever you can. Sometimes that's a very difficult challenge to meet, but if you're going to live an authentic life, it's important to be truthful. And God knows I've fallen short on that count, having lived a life in addiction in my past. There was a lot of self-deceit going on and lying to other people. And, you know, today I'm not going to beat myself up over that. I just recognize that was part of the process of me finding ways that did not serve myself, that did not serve my soul, and that led me to a better way of life where I don't need to lie today, where I don't need to be untrue to myself today. As I said earlier, we're all works in progress. And so it's important to be gentle with yourself, not beat yourself up, and just embrace the truth of your being the best you can. What else would you have to say, Kat?
Well, I agree, and I wanted to jump off from what you were saying about finding yourself being inauthentic and how it made you feel. And I found a little quote by Brené Brown, depending on how you want to pronounce her name. And I find this quite poignant after what you've just said. If you trade your authenticity for safety, you may experience the following: anxiety, depression, eating disorders, addiction, rage, blame, resentment, and inexplicable grief.
Ooh.
So it's basically saying to you that if you choose the safety of what others expect you to think, feel, believe, and you don't choose your own truth, you're going down a path of pain. You're going into a world of pain. It is much better to be in your truth than it is to lie to yourself and to others for the sake of feeling safe or being in a comfort zone. And that means also not admitting something. Even if it's staring in your face and the other person is yelling it at you and you still don't admit it, you can put yourself into a horrible position because of that. It's much better to just speak the truth, no matter where the consequences, than it is to sit there and be in a position where you're chewing yourself up from the inside. Because there's one person you cannot hide from, and that's yourself, your inner self, your conscience. And it will play on you. It will speak to you. And it loves to talk to you in the night when you're trying to sleep.
Mm.
And if you can't sleep, that's your conscience. Chit-chat, shouldn't lie to that person. You shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have done that. Why did you do that? Now you can see the consequences of this, that, blah, blah, blah. And it will just go on and on and on. It will not stop talking to you. And that's how people go mad, because their conscience is that part of them that is the absolute truth. So it's much better as an authentic person to create a life that feels good on the inside. Even if you're, sorry, I just want to finish this thought.
Yeah.
Even if the outside, even if the surroundings are not where you want, if you're living an authentic life on the inside, you can stay sane while your surroundings are changing slowly. You know, it might be a tortoise pace. But, as I have experienced in the past, but by bringing myself back to my truth and staying in that and feeling more confident to be in my truth, daily empowering that truth, and at times allowing myself to be grumpy and let that inner that I've got speak my truth if necessary, I have got myself into a position where I'm finding finally I can change my outer reality. But that inner reality, it takes a lot of guts to work on it. But geez, it's worth it.
Sure is. You know, and when you talked about the tortoise, that reminded me of that old story about the tortoise and the hare. And I say it's a lot better to be a tortoise, you know, just keep moving forward and valuing life as you move along and recognizing that it's the journey that it's all about. It's not the destination per se. You'll get there eventually, but you might as well enjoy the journey. And when you were talking about conscience, I was thinking about what you can do to become more authentic and to change the course, and that is to make your amends to people, to admit when you've told a lie, to admit when you have fallen short of whatever it is you're striving to do. And I also was reading something that talked about five things that you can do to love your authentic self more, and that really spoke to me. The first one was to stop undervaluing yourself. And God, that's something that I was so good at doing in my past. Instead of affirming that I was worthy, affirming that I could accomplish what I set my mind to, I would focus on all of the failures and then beat myself up and start to think of myself as a failure. So it's important to cut yourself some slack and to recognize that you are human, and I've certainly come to a place where I'm a lot better at doing that. It's a matter of becoming a friend to yourself. And, you know, unless you can be a friend to yourself and love yourself the best you can, it's really hard to extend that to somebody else. So, one of the other things it talked about doing was learning to invest in yourself. And, you know, that could be something like taking a course on something that you're interested in. One never stops learning. I had a woman with dementia that I used to take care of, and she was British, and she she was a character. But the one thing she would repeat over and over, and it really impressed me because she was absolutely right, and that was that one never stops learning. So those were a few things that I was reading about, and you know, I was also thinking in terms of when I used the word character to describe that woman, I was thinking about the characters in my life who did serve as authentic examples to me, and those were my grandparents. I had one grandfather who once was a quarter short at the gas tank, and he surprised a gas station attendant because he drove home, got the quarter and returned it. I mean, that to me is showing character and leading an authentic life. He was a great, great person. That was my grandfather, Lawrence. And same could be said for my other grandparents. My maternal grandmother, she was the most unconditionally loving person I've ever known. And she just took such joy at extending that love to other people and giving of herself. And I think that's the greatest gift we can give. Once we have taken that oxygen mask for ourselves, then to give to somebody else. Because unless you give to yourself first, you don't have anything to give to anybody else, as Kat was saying. Kat, we do have a couple of people on the line. Shall we go to the phone lines and see if they'd like to participate?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I talked to Karen earlier. Karen, is there anything you'd like to say?
I'm just really enjoying hearing what you have to say. It's very helpful, and I would just like to continue to listen.
Well, thanks for joining us. Glad you're enjoying the show. So please continue to listen, and thank you again. Okay, I haven't talked to this person. Area code 434. You don't need to say anything if you don't want to, but I'd just like to find out your name. What is your first name, please?
Khalil.
Oh, hi, Khalil. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Good, good. Is there anything you'd like to share about living an authentic life?
Just being a good person and trying to not fear so much.
To not what so much?
Fear so much.
Ah, I like that. You know, one of my favorite spiritual teachers is Anthony DeMello. And he talked about how there are two basic states, and those are love and fear. And, you know, I think that fear serves absolutely no purpose. It's toxic unless we're faced with survival things. And Kat has talked about that before, how important it is to respect our animal needs and take care of ourselves at a basic level if a fear comes up. But when it comes to other fears, they can be very dysfunctional. So Thank you for sharing with us, Galair.
You're welcome.
Kat, what do you say about that? I know you have your own ideas about fear.
Well, yeah, because fear, there's two aspects to fear, isn't there? There's the real fear, which is an instinct within you, and that's a fear of walking across a busy road. It's a real fear. Why? Because if you didn't have that fear response, you would just walk into traffic and get killed. So, you know, I have a fear of putting my hand out in front of a snake's mouth. Why? Because the snake, even if it doesn't have venom, it will attack me. So I have fear of that. I have fear of, and I've been in a situation where I've been surrounded by wild dogs. I have a fear of being out at night where I know that packs of dogs will roam. Why? Because dogs and wolves will round you up and attack you. That's a good fear to have. So you don't do that. You certainly don't take a vulnerable person out at night into areas where there are angry people as well. So we have fears for a good reason. Where we shouldn't be indulging fear is by, I'll put it a different way. If we remain in ignorance and we do not educate ourselves about ideas that are planted into our minds by others who may wish to control us, we will live in fear. So it's always best to educate yourself, to be on top of what's going on in your world, what's going on in your society, how to remain in a state of calm. And so, for example, with this COVID situation, educate yourself about it. Don't be in fear of it, because that's not going to serve you any purpose. Be educated about it. Know where the clusters are. Keep away from those areas. If you happen to be living in a cluster area, do, you know, protective measures. And get on with your life. Just get on with it. So you don't sit there freaking out over small things. Because by getting yourself worked up, you can go into a permanent state of anxiety, which will lead to depression, which will lead to apathy, and for some people can lead to suicidal thoughts and the act itself. And I would also say that anger that has not been dealt with can take you down that path as well. So it can be quite a toxic but addictive process to be living in fear. If you're just being fed information, say for example, the information that's often being fed to people by mainstream media, a lot of it's BS. You know, the allopathic medical associations every so often come on the radio or the television and say how it's really, really bad to have alternative medicines. Well, then they'll put out examples of why to fear those people who are natural doctors. And it's not founded in any real truth, because the science that is behind a naturopath is often the same science that's behind a nutritionist, and allopaths agree with nutritionists, but they don't agree with naturopaths, and that boils down to money. That boils down to pharmaceutical industry not liking that's the pharmaceutical industry, the herbal supplement industry. It just boils down to money, nothing else. It's just ridiculous. If they all work together, they'd recognize that they can actually improve the world. So that's fear. That's a fear-based thinking, to close your mind to that. Then you continue to have worse and worse and worse and worse health issues, because you're just taking synthetic drugs and you could have just taken like vitamin C and gotten better. So I think that, has that clarified it? We have real fear, which is good.
Yeah.
Don't put your hand in front of a snake.
Yeah.
And then we have taught fear, which is not good. always question everything that people say, including what I say. Question it. Look it up. Research. Find out for yourself. Think for yourself, and you will allay fear.
I like that. I like that. There were a couple more things I wanted to talk about, things that I discovered when I was Googling ways to be authentic. One of them was ways to be authentic in your authentic self in relationships, which I thought was very interesting. And, of course, it starts off with you knowing yourself the best that you can. And you need to, as I talked about earlier, self-awareness is so important. And that comes down to living in the moment, being in touch with your thoughts, your feelings, your words, listening before speaking, and allowing your higher self to direct your words. When they come from the ego place, they can sometimes evoke things like fear within other people. So in order for me to be truly authentic, I focus very much on being careful with my words. Being kind. I mean, I guess I just talked about that. You know, when you express how you feel in a way that's hurtful or judgmental, you're not being kind to somebody else. That's not to say that you shouldn't be expressing your feelings. You can do that in a way that does not point the finger at somebody else, but just say something like, I feel this way when this situation, or when you said what you said, and then take it into dialogue from there. Hopefully it will be dialogue and not something that's escalating. It's important to check in with yourself to see what your motives might be, because we aren't always clear on that. A lot of us have really veiled motives, and unless you truly know who you are, you may be walking into a situation with ulterior motives. It's important to learn the art of self-surrendering, and just trusting yourself. That is so important. What do you think about that, Kat?
I agree, and definitely with the trusting yourself, because trusting your intuition, your gut feeling, that sense of knowing, a vision that flashes in your mind, a memory that comes back to you. Like, for example, I went to hire a gardener. I needed help with my garden, and I rang this guy up. He sounded okay, but I was getting a bad feeling. And when I put the phone down, I suddenly had a memory flash in front of my mind of a gardener who let me down. That was my intuition flooding me with information that this guy was going to do the same thing, and it is exactly what happened. So you have to trust your intuition. It's so important. If you don't like somebody when you first meet them, you need to ask yourself why. And if the intuition is telling you it's because they're not trustworthy, it's not because of some prejudice that you've been taught. It's not because they haven't had a shower today. It's not because their clothes are a bit strange for your culture, but not theirs, you know. It's not, none of these superficial things that people are taught as they're older, but it's something about their character. You need to listen to that. That's really, really important. I remember a friend of mine brought her new boyfriend over, and she said, oh, tell me what you think of him. And I said to her, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. And she went, what? And I said, I don't trust that guy at all. And she said, oh, why? Is it because he's a bit of a cowboy? And I said, no, he would never look me in the eye. And in Australian culture, Caucasian people look each other in the eye. Aboriginal people don't, and that's because of their culture. So that's all right. So if I met an Aboriginal person and they didn't look me in the eye, I know that's okay, and I'd look for other character traits that would tell me that they're not to be trustworthy. But a Caucasian dude not looking me in the eye, red flag up. And he ended up being somebody that hurt her kids. But, hey, I was not to be listened to, I suppose. And she went down that path and found out for herself. But that's intuition. It tells you. And it's not necessarily a mystical thing. It's a guidance system inbuilt within you. And you have X amount of experience in your life, and it will pull information very quickly out of your subconscious mind to give you a knowing that, hang on, this isn't right, something wrong here.
I like that.
Yeah, so trust it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trust is very important. You know, a lot of people, people are starting at different points in their own realities, and I think it's important to be really patient with yourself if you're on this pathway to becoming more authentic. One of the things you can do to get in touch with your inner truth is to journal. We've talked about this before. Journaling is an interesting exercise because it brings things from your subconscious up, and it's like automatic writing. You sometimes just have no idea where it's coming from. And when you put a pen to a piece of paper, a lot of amazing things can happen, and it can help you discover where you're at in the moment. It can help you to uncover what your motivations are, what your desires are. We talked about following your passions. You can also ask for feedback. I talked to you about feedback before. Ask it from people that you feel safe to be around, people that are part of your so-called tribe that will encourage you, that will not judge you, that will help you to uncover those parts of yourself that you may not be able to see, because we can't be objective about ourselves. We need input from other people. Other people see us in ways that we can't see ourselves. And if we're going to get in touch with who we truly are, we do need feedback from other people. And it's so important to find your purpose in life. And again, as I was saying before, life is a journey. And so as Kat was saying, and as I have said, once again, it comes back to following your passions. Let that be a guidepost for you to discover what it is that you truly value and what makes you feel alive. And also ground yourself. That's really important too.
Yeah, that's right. And grounding yourself is simple, and it's just feeling completely in touch with your body. So now, for some people, they're in their head all the time, and you can really lose touch. Other people are very kinesthetic. They're very in their body, and they need to get in touch with their mind a bit more. But if you're not grounded, you're not having a true, full experience. It's physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual to be human. It's not just physical. It's not just emotional. It's not just mental, and it's not just spiritual. It's all four. And when you can find that within who you are, then you've got the key. And remember that spiritual isn't mystical, out there, far out, woo-woo. That's just all BS. That's all just crap. spiritual is connection. It's real. It's the part that is the unseen but the felt. You feel it. You don't see it. And you know it's true. It's like electricity. You don't see electricity unless there's lightning in the sky. And then the light refraction is from the electricity, but is the light electricity itself? I'm not quite sure. I'd have to speak to someone about that. But you can certainly feel it. I got electrocuted the other day, a little shock in my thumb. And we can see the result of using it in powering our gadgets and other necessities. So your connection to your inner being is deep, true, and real, and felt. You may not be able to touch it, smell it, taste it, but you can feel it. And when you're in that place, everything else begins to fall into place. Everything else. But the last thing that will change is your physical reality. But the first thing that has to change is your relationship with yourself, as David said.
Kat,
then you become more authentic.
We do have one other caller. Let's see who that is and if they would like to share. Hi, area code 917. What's your first name, please? I don't know if you're muted or if you just wanted to listen. I just wondered if you'd like to say your name, and if you had anything to share, you're welcome to do so. If you're just listening, that's fine too. Thank you for joining us tonight. Well, Kat, is there anything else you'd like to say in closing before we move on to meditation?
Don't be afraid to look after yourself and to think for yourself. Question everything and really go deeply into what is real and what is put out there to control you so you don't live in fear, as that gentleman who rang in said. We don't want to be living in fear because it takes us away from our authentic selves. We want to be looking after ourselves. The best self that you can be is healthy physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And that means driving your own car, riding your own wave, helming your own ship, not listening to what other people, media, family, friends, business owners, what other people tell you is reality, but finding out for yourself. Think for yourself. And that's where you'll really find the true, authentic self.
Thank you, Kat. And I just had a few other things that I wanted to put forward as things that you might consider doing to free yourself so that you can live an authentic life. And these come from the Huffington Post. One is to let your inner light be your guide, be your highest self. Some of these we've talked about. I'm just kind of underscoring some themes here. Here's another important one that we didn't discuss, and that's letting go of patterns and relationships that don't serve you. Let's face it, you're here to live as joyful a life as you can, and why would you want to surround yourself with toxic people or toxic situations? You have the right to choose your life for better or for worse, the best you can. Speak your truth and open your mind. And again, connect with your heart, connect with your gut, and free your spirit. And Kat gave you some suggestions on that. So with that said, let's move into meditation. I invite you to close your eyes if you feel comfortable doing that. If not, focus on a spot on the wall or something in the room, something that you can center yourself on, and begin to breathe deeply. Breathe in to the count of seven. One, two, three, four, 5, 6, 7, hold, release. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And repeat 2 more times. And now I ask you to think way back to when you were a young child. Perhaps you were 3, perhaps you were 4, perhaps you were 5, with whatever time you can connect with that is a pleasant time in your life. I invite you to do so, even if you have to go later. And think about what it is that pleases you and what you do that pleases you. And how you are that pleases you. That makes you feel whole and complete, safe and secure within yourself. And now I ask you to move forward in time, perhaps to when you are coming of age, 10, 12, 13, whenever you started to feel yourself blossoming. And I ask you once again to think of what it is about you that pleases yourself. Think now what you might do or have done differently that would have brought you to a better result. Do not be critical. Do not judge yourself. Simply think of a new way of being. For you are coming into a new part of your life. You are getting more in touch with yourself and with your needs and your desires. Think about what it was that you desired at that point in your life for yourself to feel whole and complete. And move forward in time. To your late teens, to the time when you may have graduated from high school or entered college. Think about what it is that you have accomplished in your life that's been pleasing to you. What your hopes and dreams are for yourself. What ways you've been with other people that have made you feel of value to others and to yourself. Focus on your passions. Focus on the simple. Focus on becoming who you truly are at this point in time. And if you are going back in time and looking at things that did not please you, I encourage you to let them go and focus on what it was that you were looking forward to or what it was that you might have done differently without any judgment. And now I ask you to move forward in time to a more mature place in your life. Perhaps you're 30. Perhaps you're 40. You've encountered some of the realities of life now. Perhaps you've had children and gotten married. Perhaps you're still single. But perhaps you have gotten into a place in your life where you're feeling fulfilled. And so I ask you to look at those things that fulfilled you at that point in time, that pleased you, what your passions were and how you may have accomplished them. I ask you to focus on what you've done in the world at this point in your life that has brought you satisfaction, that has made you feel whole and complete, that has made you feel aligned with your spirit, that has made you content in your mind and in your heart. And now move forward to wherever you are today. Whatever you are today, letting go of the past, focus on the present moment. What is it that is giving you pleasure in this present moment? What is it that today has brought to you that has served your purpose? How is your purpose in life today, at this moment in time, making you feel better about yourself, more whole and complete, more congruent, more authentic? You are an amazing, amazing person. You are blossoming still, and you have dreams ahead of you. And I ask you to consider your dreams and realize that dreams do come true. And so, when you're ready, open your eyes and take one more deep cleansing breath and know that you are beloved, that you are whole and complete, even if you didn't know that a moment ago. You are a work in progress. You are a spiritual being having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience whenever you let it be. Good night, everybody, and good day.
Good night, everyone.
Oh, and Kat, would you like to announce our Facebook page?
Oh, yes. Please join us on Facebook at The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards. And if you have any thoughts about today's show, just add them in the comments section. You'll see today's show posted up on the page. It's the first post. We've got a sticky post there, which is so always there, but the first post under that is dated the 3rd of the 8th, 2020 in the Australian dating, because I'm the person who posts on there. Please add what your thoughts about living an authentic life in the comments below, and join us again next week. Click like and share it with your friends.
And the only other thing I'd like to add is that we welcome topics, suggestions from the callers and listeners. So please, if you have a topic that you would like to have discussed on a future show, also indicate that on the Facebook page, and we'll be happy to discuss that. And so once again, I wish everybody a good day and a good night. And thanks, Kat.
Thanks, David. Thanks for listening, everyone.